Blog Talk Radio.
Of all his saints,
even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. So what we've just read is telling us whether you're even a tree or a creature, an animal or a person, young, old, anything in between, even the angels are told to praise the Lord. And that's always our choice as to whether we want to do that or not. He doesn't force it upon us. I was having a discussion with some of my grandchildren last night, and there was all kind of different opinions flying around the room. And you know what? That's okay, because we are all going to be responsible for ourselves, not somebody else. And that's good. God gives us the freedom of choice to choose which direction we would like to go. He is not a dictator, so that's a good thing.
Hello.
We're having multiple problems here today with our microphones. Supposedly we're on here again. This is It's a Wonderful Life. We come to you every Thursday from 12 to 1. And I was in another area when my husband was telling me that earlier, because we've been having lots of technical difficulties today. So I apologize for repeating myself. But we cover several things every Thursday. We talk about God, of course, because we are a Christian radio station, or show, not station. And we talk about pro-life issues, which we're going to talk about today. We talk about childbirth, because we are childbirth educators, and I'm a doula. We also talk about some good food that God's given us. And with it being time that we all, you know, like to think about gardens, and we like to go to markets where they have fresh produce, you know, we can think about some of the reasons why we buy certain foods. And I have been amazed from doing this every week and looking into the properties that are into the things that we eat. I'm talking about whole foods, not something in a box and stuff. But I'm amazed at what all the health benefits and all the healing benefits that are in food. My granddaughter hasn't been feeling well for the last day, and she's been making herself platform peach, I think, herbal tea. And, you know, that's a good thing, because it's healing to her body, and hopefully she'll be feeling much better soon. So anyway, there's lots out there for us. We don't just eat the same old bland thing every day. There's so much variety for eating too. And I'm just going to try to find. Well, my husband's with us today. He's been on for quite a while.
www.benlife.org.
friends. Like, but. So, it hasn't been all the network news, but it's been all over the internet. It's just a week and a half talking about fans turning. And once again, the mess that they've stepped into, admitted to, is something that us as pro-lifers have known for a long time. And now people are coming like, oh my gosh, really? Is this happening?
And a lot of people, what we're going to talk about, a lot of people will say, oh, that can't be true. They wouldn't do that. And how many people said that about the Nazis? They were killing and using people.
People can say that it's not true.
Right.
But we have proof. We have Planned Parenthood connected to one video where they didn't know they were discussing it and admitting it. So for all the naysayers out there, and those of you that prefer to stick your head in the sand, like the Oscar stuff, it's happening whether you or not. So
what is it that's happening?
Well, to start off, it will be the National for Life Alliance, in their new on Tuesday, July 21st, said another undercover Planned Parenthood video, which is possibly more disturbing than the first. Senior executive of Planned Parenthood is seen haggling over the price of some aborted baby abortion. Hard to watch. But I'm so thankful for members of the National for Life Alliance for the call. Talks about this. Darn. Guess we have to play this. I'm going to have to search for that. But what is actually happening? Planned Parenthood has been taking the aborted babies. Do you want to call them fetuses?
And fetuses, there's nothing wrong with calling it a fetus. That is the development.
Yeah, but
development word that we use.
People like to use the word
because they don't want to acknowledge that it's a real person.
Right.
But it's, like we said before, there's many states that humans go through, start out as an embryo, as a cell, and then an embryo, and then a fetus, and then you're a newborn, and then you're an infant, you're a toddler, you're a child, you're a teenager, and you're an adult, and then in the end, like my husband and I, you're the humanity of the child.
Well, let's see if we're getting more.
Well, while you're looking for that, do you want me to read some of this article, or is that going to take
a little more time? Well, I would turn to that. I thought I had it bookmarked. I'm sorry, but it's not that one. I have to talk to myself. All right, here you go. And unfortunately, it's no joke. No harm. Planned Parenthood gets $500 million a year of upfront money. This is the irresponsible. The organization has been covering up statutory rates, double billing taxes, aiding and abetting sex trafficking, and sex selective abortion, and accepting money to abort African American children. 2 years ago,
Can I stop you there for just a second? I was in a conversation with somebody the other week, and they were saying, now Planned Parenthood, they don't mostly do abortions, and they're not involved with that. All they do is give out, information about condoms, and so blinded to the truth of what this organization is really involved in. So it really behooves you to listen and be educated about what they're out there, what they're all about.
Yeah. What I would suggest is that you go on YouTube and Google Planned Parenthood executives talk about selling baby parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I don't have to just play the videos over and over, and you folks have to listen to it and not see the actual video itself. I don't like to do that. So, but it says, if you haven't heard about the shocking undercover video, which is Planned Parenthood's top abortion casually explains the process of how she sells the various body parts made from the down through the wife. Awful, sickening, and hopefully it's the last deal on the top that the outrageous taxpayer funding Planned Parenthood.
Now, are we talking about Deborah Macnotola, or
we are, Dr. Deborah Macnotola.
Okay.
Right. So, we are going to, I'm going to switch over to another article that talks about 41 companies running for Planned Parenthood. This was by Lisa Quinn on July 21st this year. The wake up decision, that's the picture on Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there
right.
In video. Planned Parenthood. However, it is not only the government. 25% of Planned Parenthood's $1.3 billion annual revenue comes from private donations, which include corporate contributions. Second vote research the corporate find which supported Planned Parenthood. Found that more than 3,000 donations. Some companies donate directly, while others match employee expenses. 41 corporations and organizations directly contribute. Planned Parenthood is somewhat under heavy fire following the recent video called Center for Medical Products. First video released last week shows Planned Parenthood's senior executive, Dr. Deborah Macnotola, meeting with actors trained. Fired from a human biologic company. The buyers discussed the sale of fetal products, body parts, with Macnotola over in the video. As a Planned Parenthood medical director found the team negotiated the price for the fetal products. And then it has a place to watch the video.
So wasn't there a part of the video where they were trying to buy a liver? A little baby's liver for
$900.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now, so somebody pointed out that the funny thing is that Planned Parenthood for years and years has been saying, these products of conception, as they call children, are just a blob. It's just tissue. It's nothing there. That was their argument for years.
So
if it's not a part, then how can they sell an actual liver? How can it be worth that much money?
Well, since the video, they're now backpedaling, saying that no, they don't sell. Now, even though the video shows her negotiating or haggling over the price.
Like a yard sale. Yeah. Oh, can I have that for $1.50?
Right. It says, so this is probably $1,000
or $900.
But now they backpedal and says, well, they don't. So now they say they don't really sell the parts. They donate the parts to whatever, whether it's a medical facility or pharmaceutical company, whatever they donate it, and that is a sex donation.
And women, just so you know, a lot of your hair products, a lot of your body products that you use have been known to have fetal baby parts in them. So you have to be really careful, especially your makeup that you put on your face.
So,
and don't be shocked, because, when the Holocaust was going on, what did they do with people's parts? They used them for soap. They made different products.
They sold them to cut their hair and they sold
them. Yeah, it was I saw a documentary where they had, I forget how many tons and tons of bundles of hair that they had cut off of the people after they killed them. And they were using the hair to make into product. And I can't remember what that product was, unfortunately.
But for you folks today, here are the things. full. Some of them will come as no surprise. Others, yeah. Number one, top on the list, Adobe. Adobe is... Number two, American Cancer Society.
Yeah, who would think, right?
Number three, I said, don't leave out without it. Avon.
Oh, wow.
Avon. Wait a minute. Bank of America. Bath and Body Works. Ben and Jerry. Flora. Coca-Cola.
Oh. I like Coca-Cola. That's
Converse. Deutsche Bank. Dockers. Yeah. ExxonMobil. Fannie Mae. Ford.
All right, now let's stop at Ford. Ford was a great contributor to Hitler.
Yep, he was.
So, you know, that goes right along with them still going along the same line.
Groupon.
Oh, man.
Into it. Johnson & Johnson, Lufthansa, Levi Strauss, Liberty Mutual, Macy's, March of Dimes, Dance, Nike, Oracle, PepsiCo. Well, PepsiCo, I stopped there. They got caught a couple years ago when they were
fetal
cells.
In the Pepsi Cola.
Right, from flavoring.
So you were drinking the babies then. Fine. The only reason they stopped was because they got a lot of their shareholders took to court. And actually, they...
No, that's not why.
Well, that's not why they stopped.
Court.
But they took
court
the court.
Side, yeah,
right.
Court side of PepsiCo.
Yes, but they stopped because of the word getting out and people, you know, it hit their pocketbook.
Right.
That's the only reason they stopped. So even though they don't do it now, I still wouldn't buy their product because of what they were involved in.
Pfizer, Progressive, Insurance, Starbucks, Susan G. Komen, Tostitos, but it's part of it. But Unilever, United Way, Verizon, Wells Fargo, and Xerox. And, you know, it's funny because we're moving to a town, and the two main banks are Bank of America, which is like near the top of the business, and Wells Fargo at the bottom. So, folks, here's the top, here's the 41. It's directly contribute to Planned Parenthood. And I know for myself, I plan on addressing a letter to at least a couple of these that I've been doing with, and that I find it very sensitive. And just a couple other results I'll send a letter to and say, I was considering changing my whatever account, but now with this items that I've read here that I don't want to read.
Yeah.
So.
It's a sad time that we live in, guys. It just seems like everything that you touch nowadays. Well, one of the things that we've been doing on Thursdays at noon is not only reading from Psalms, we've been reading from the Book of Acts. And the reason we've been doing that is because I've been telling you that to be a Christian is not living, it doesn't mean you live a boring life. And in fact, the Book of Acts was the story, if you want to say, of the early Christians, the disciples that had lived with Jesus, ate with him, slept with him, you know, learned from him, and hung out with him for 3.5 years. And so this is their story of what happened in their lives after Jesus had been crucified, went back to, you know, ascended into heaven, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. They had power, and the power that they possessed was just so mind-boggling and so exciting. And so the Book of Acts is showing you what kind of things that they were involved in. And we are in chapter 9, and we're reading about Saul. Now, Saul was Paul before this, and he was one of those guys totally against the Christian movement. He was out there actually having Christians killed because he did not like what they were all about. But he gets this conversion experience, and he turns into one of the best disciples that there was. And in chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them down unto Jerusalem. So we already read that. I'm sorry. That's where he got his experience. Let's see. I caught it in my bookmark in the wrong section. All right. So we were in chapter 11. And the apostles and brethren were in Jerusalem and heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou went in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it is a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came unto me, even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has of any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me, again from heaven, What God has cleansed, that call not, that all were drawn up again unto heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Who shall tell these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as one at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace, glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as speaking the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Cretans, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. He should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Excuse me. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit there should be great dearth throughout all the earth world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. chapter 12. We read two chapters in the book of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he thought pleased the Jews, he forbade his brother to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, for prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod went and brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through the front street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Wow. So, if you were in prison and you're bound with chains, you're sleeping in between two guards, chains fall off, an angel comes, touches you on the side, says, "Come on with me." Go through the gate, the iron gate, the gate opens, and then the angel's gone. I know I'm
going to be. I'd be running out of there. Leaping and shouting for joy.
Amen. But this is the kind of stuff that happened to these early believers. This is the kind of stuff that still happens today. I know Eddie and I, have had many, many miracles, and I wish I would have written them all down in here. But we've had many things happen in our life that's just mind-blowing. There's no way to explain it. And nobody's ever going to tell me that this isn't God doing this stuff. Okay, so verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself.
Well,
he's like, "Oh, my God, what just happened to me?"
Whoa.
So he had to come to himself. Now, I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, being moved. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said, exactly. They're like, "Oh my gosh, how'd Peter get out of prison?" And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so.
"And you're crazy, woman."
Exactly. And then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." He departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was to come of Peter. Absolutely. They're all saying, "Wait a minute, where's this prisoner that you were supposed to be watching?"
Oh, yeah. Come on, heads are going to roll.
Exactly, literally. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death.
Not out of maximum security facility.
And it wasn't by an angel.
Exactly. Okay, but still, people heads were rolling.
Right.
And
he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. They came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry.
So, you know.
And took with them John, surnamed Mark.
You know, that would make me think of people today in all, you know, in all.
Yeah.
Like Herod.
Yeah. Be amazing. Maybe people would take notes. No, wake up. What? A lot of times they don't. They just keep on going back into their sin. So how much time do we have here? We have 21 minutes left. All righty. So we ask for a blessing from the Word of God today. We ask for any answer. That's right. Unheard. But, you know, be changed. That they would wake up from their slumber. And they would know that our God is a real God.
Short. to 4377 and tell them, please, you heard about their campground and hot spring pools from It's a Wonderful Place. Now, dear, if you want to move on to that.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about childbirth.
Okay.
Yeah, my husband still gets excited. Well, we both get excited, but it's always so it's always refreshing to see the excitement on my husband's face when somebody talks about a birth or their labor, and he starts, you know, chiming in about the information that he knows about it. And I think it's wonderful that as a man, he is not ignorant of it. Now he knows what's expected. He doesn't. He's not like the typical TV
dad
or TV portrayal of what birth is like and what labor is like. So in front of me, I have a question. It says, what is labor? And this says, Jane Hathaway from the American Academy of Husband Coach Childbirth is co-executive director of the American Academy of Husband Coach Childbirth with his wife, Margie. He's taught over 3,600 couples to give birth. He has trained over 4,000 teachers in the Bradley Method, if you've never heard of that, and has produced over 40 films and videos on childbirth and related topics. Jay suggests that many of the problems in obstetrics today are because people do not know and understand really what labor is. What is labor? What is it for? Why have labor? Why not just have birth? Contrary to what most people believe, Jay believes that there are some very good reasons for labor, and they have little, if anything, to do with cervical dilation. And I found myself, and my husband also has told people, you know, you hear of people that are in labor, and they may only be in labor for a few hours, and they're like, well, you know, what's taking so long? Why aren't I progressing the way I'm supposed to be? Maybe I'm not going fast enough. And we tell them.
Or I'm tired of this.
I want this to be over. And what we tell people is there's a lot that goes on during labor. It's not just about dilating, but it's about your body going through a total process. And so it says the following is a list of possible reasons for labor, beginning with the least important first. Great and other important points as we discuss these ideas. This discussion may give you a different perspective on what you're trying to accomplish and why it is important. So number one, it says a warning. Labor is a warning or signal that a new human life is about to enter the family, community, and this world. Well, that's obvious. Two, a time of physical preparation within and for the mother's body. You know, you may not think of it that way. You may not think, well, the mother's body has to get actually ready for this child to come into the world. You know, a lot of the problems that people don't understand about that is that they, you know, typically watch shows on television where the woman has her first pain and they run off to the hospital, they rush in the car, everybody's running around like, you know, they're crazy.
Yeah. And they panic. Oh,
right. And it's not that unless you have a precipitous labor, which is really not, it's really rare, it's not normal, and that usually runs in your family. But, you know, for the typical labor, it's going to take many, many hours because your body has a lot to do, and the baby's body is doing a lot of things inside your body. So this is a time for physical preparation, a time to prepare to give birth, you know, a time to prepare to become a mother. So just like you were pregnant for 9 months, you know, God could have made it so you were pregnant, you know, a week or a month. Or like some little, you know, like rabbits, I think they're pregnant for about 8 weeks and then they give birth. But he gave us humans 9 months to prepare our bodies, to prepare our minds, to wrap our head around the fact that we're going to go from being, you know, a couple to a family. And I think that, you know, of course God knows he's all wise and powerful and he's in control. And I can see why he would take 9 months to grow a human baby. A physical preparation for the baby's body for being born, changing from an inner uterine life an extra uterine life. You know, it's also said that after a baby is born, that for the first 3 months of the baby's life, it's almost like their fourth trimester. The, you know, a lot of times I see people have a newborn baby, and they expect that newborn baby to behave like an older infant. They don't give that baby time to adjust from being in the uterus to out in the outer world. And one example of that is I had a client not long ago, and I went to visit her a few days after her baby was born, and they had the baby out on the deck, and this was the beginning of summer, and it wasn't a real hot day, and it was actually rather cool on their deck. There wasn't any sun out on the deck, and they had this newborn 7-pound baby out there with no cover on it, short sleeves, no hat, and I was actually showing that I had a jacket on. And I thought, you know, people don't realize that that child has been in the womb, warm at 98.6 for 9 months, and now the child's out there, not totally, you know, covered. And so people need to realize those things. Number three, a physical preparation. Oh, I just read that. I'm sorry. Number four, a period of time to assist the mother to grow and change psychologically, emotionally, and mentally, for giving up the status of pregnant woman and for accepting the responsibilities of mothering a newborn. You know, once again, this is a transition period. You don't go from being pregnant for 9 months and then all of a sudden, within, you know, another hour, really understanding, emotionally and mentally, what it means to change into being a mother now, responsible for another person 24 hours a day. Number five, labor is a period of time to assist the baby to grow and change psychologically, emotionally, mentally, for the first day of the rest of his or her life. So once again, the mother has to have time to change. The baby has to have time to change. I don't know which of any of these points you agree with, and I hope that for at least a few of them, you said to yourself, yes, I think that's right. I want to suggest to you that when you're in labor, each of you appreciates something very important is being done. Nobody else can labor for you. Nobody can give your baby what he or she needs. There are other ways, there are easier ways, but there is no better way than to labor and give birth to your baby naturally. And also, I want to interject a point. You know, I've been a childbirth doula for 15 years, and I can say that from my experience, women that labor, especially naturally, seem to take their parenting almost to a different level. I feel like it's almost like, you know, you give a child a dollar and you say, here, go buy an ice cream cone. Or you say to the child, if you like the ice cream cone, I'm going to give you an opportunity to earn that. I'm going to let you do some work here, and when you're done the work, I'm going to give you a dollar. But when they go get that ice cream, I think they appreciate it in a different way. And I feel like it's the same way with a laboring woman. A woman who goes into cesarean, which I don't ever understand why anybody would want to do that, because it's laser surgery and it's not as easy as you think. But some of those women who do that, versus a woman who spends 25 hours in labor, working with every single contraction, and finding her strength, and appreciating that baby in a different way. I find that they parent differently. Let's see. If you think you're doing something trivial and perhaps not even doing it very well, then labor is much more difficult. If in the back of your mind you think you're doing this because your baby needs it, then your labor will become a joy. Not easy, not necessarily painless, but extremely worthwhile and rewarding. You can't go back and give birth to this baby ever again. So be prepared, dedicated, and keep your baby's needs in mind as you labor. And so I'm going to interject there. You know, if you're laboring as naturally as you can, you're not having any drugs in your system, know that you're giving your baby the best first gift you can ever get. Well, not first gift. First gift is you take care of yourself in your pregnancy, but giving your baby the best gift by having a birth free of having drugs in your system. If you could hold this baby in your arms today for 1 hour, get to know him and then put him back inside. There's nothing you wouldn't do for that baby. No job too hard, no pain too intense. If you knew it was for the good of your baby, you'd do anything. And I think that last verse, that last sentence, makes so much sense. Because, you know, when you're pregnant, you feel a love for that child. You feel a responsibility and a nurturing towards that child. But it is different after the baby's here. After you live with that child, you know, for a while. And as the child gets older and older, your love just grows and grows for that child. And I think that a lot of people would treat their labor differently if they had time outside of the womb with the baby even before they got a chance to labor.
Well, people don't realize, too, that during labor, baby's lungs are being... There are chemical things in mom's body.
Right.
That do chemical things to the baby's body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you brush your breath. Maybe your baby's blood needed the extra test.
Exactly. Yeah.
Every contraction, think of it as a massage of your baby. Every one of them is not squishing the baby, it's massaging the baby. And so it's pushing things around, you know, and preparing the baby for that birth. So everybody needs to accomplish something, but how many people really want down and dirty, quick, flush.
That is true.
All right. You don't want to get a driving lesson 1 hour long because they sent you, you know, out on the highway, and, you know, you want that however many hour course so that you can have some time reading and learning law and then practice driving and parking.
Well, the last subject we're going to talk about, as usual, is some kind of food that God has given us that he has created just for us, for whatever need we might have, whatever taste we are in the mood for. I think a long time ago I did talk about beets. Let's talk about beets. I've got about 25 pounds of beets on my kitchen floor in a bag, if you're wondering why they're on the floor. And we are going to can them. Beets are wonderful. Yes, honey, let's talk about beets. I'm glad you mentioned that, but I've got to look them up to see what page they're on. 161. I've got this great book here. And I'll tell you the name of it in a second. This book is called The Whole Food Companion, and it's by Diane Onstead. All right, so the beet. The beet is a beautiful vegetable that God has given us. Actually, here, we read about beets in September of 2012, so you've probably forgotten by now, or maybe you didn't listen to it then. So the beet, the general information, the beet descended from a wild, slender-rooted plant that grew abundantly in southern Europe, especially in sandy soil near seacoast. A member of the goosefoot family, beets are related to chard, spinach, sugar beets, and quinoa. Well, I didn't know it was related to quinoa. And everybody now, quinoa is popular. You hear that a lot. There are actually four types of beets, the garden beet, the leaf beet, also called chard, the sugar beet, which is processed into refined sugar, and the mangold beet, grown mostly in Europe for cattle feed. Beets with rounded roots like those we eat today are a comparatively recent variety propagated in northern Europe in about the 16th century. Red beet and white chard were both known to the ancients, but only the leaves were used for culinary purposes while the root was employed medicinally. Oh. So if you're buying a beet, you want fresh, first-quality beets. They should have a good globular shape with smooth, firm flesh and a deep red color. Size or shape do not matter in selection, but avoid those that can be identified by a short neck. Wait a minute.
study or several circles of leaf scars around the top of the bee, as they have remained in the ground too long and are liable to be tough and woody. And that was what I told my daughter, who came home with 30 pounds of bees the other day that she was going to see out there. I hope they're not woody. Hers are not great. All right, so the culinary use of the bee is ruby red coloring.
On 12 o'clock to 1 with It's a Wonderful Life. Thank you so much.